right, howdy folks at crooksandliars.com. This is John Amato, and we have a special guest today. It's Mr. Alan Combs from the Hannity and Combs Show. Alan, thanks a lot for jumping.
Just we need somebody else in broadcasting now. This is just great. I need more competition.
Well, thanks for joining us, and you know, our readers, you know, we post a lot of Hannity and Combs clips here, and
So I've read.
Yeah, so you know, we get a lot of mileage out of your show. So thanks a lot for coming in. And you know what I did is I posted that you would be willing to do an interview.
Sure.
So I got a lot of questions sent from bloggers and from readers.
Uh-huh.
So what I'll probably do, you know, I'll just ask you some questions that are really coming directly
Sure.
from the sphere and from, you know, some of the readers. And you know, a lot of questions people don't even know is how did you get hired by Fox? What was that process?
I had some very unusual pictures of people, and that enabled. No, actually, Fox, when it started, and it'll be just about exactly 9 years in October. Our show debuted in October of 1996. It'll be 9 years coming up, and they were looking for a liberal. They actually had a show called Hannity and they had nobody else in mind, and they tried out a number of people. And it turns out that some of the producers here internally were pitching me for the job. Hannity and I knew each other from radio, and we had debated a few times on another news network, and I happened to have a tape of he and I debating. So one of my producer friends here, who had already suggested me for the job, invited me to come in and bring in the tape, and I did. I laid it on the desk of Chet Collier, the legendary programmer who still consults with the network, and he said, not bad, we'll give you 6 weeks to see how it goes. And then they gave me 13 weeks. I used to joke that my option would come up so often that I never knew if I'd be back from commercial break. And then I think it's still after 9 years, no one told them that the 13 weeks is up. So for some reason, I slip through security every day, and don't tell them I'm still here.
I won't. Don't worry about it. And you know, one of the bloggers asked to ask us about Chris Wallace, because they said he got hired, and Roger Ailes just asked of him, you know, that he can get up in the morning without blaming anything on America. So
yeah.
People want to know, did Roger Ailes ever ask you about, you know, anything, how to approach the show?
The only thing they asked me was to get a haircut. said my hair was too long, and that was it.
You got a little mullet going right now.
I don't know about a mullet. I'm not sure about that. But, I'm still waiting. If our ratings go up just a notch, I think I'm going to start asking for the earring and ponytail so I can. But no, clearly they knew what they were getting with me. I was a known quantity on radio. It was no secret what my opinions were or how I expressed them. So I don't think I was a big surprise to them.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact that I was able to keep a job, I don't think they were surprised about anything. And no, none of those. There were no questions like, well, what are you going to say about this? That just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I never even realized this, but you do have a background in comedy, is that right?
Yes. I've stood in front of many brick walls, and I think that, certainly it helps to diffuse the right wing, and anybody you're arguing with, no matter what side you're on, if you can approach it with an affable point of view, expressed affably, and to do it in a way that sometimes makes them laugh. So, yes, I think having a comedy background certainly has helped in terms of timing and getting out a message that doesn't always have to be expressed in the most serious manner. Sometimes, you know, people get the message in unusual ways. Certainly having a comedy background helps in this environment.
Yeah, you know, we noticed that a lot of comedians, you know, do very well in politics. Bill Maher, you know, you just hear people who can express opinions. You know, the Daily Show is pretty popular because, you know, infusing humor with what's going on is just very
powerful. Well, so many people say they get their news from the Daily Show, and it kind of fits in because some conservatives write me all the time and say, you can't be serious. So people think I'm doing sit-down comedy now.
All right. Another question we got from one of our readers is, how big do you think Wesley Clark's, you know, coming over to Fox and signing on is for Fox and for Wesley Clark?
Well, I think it's a wonderful addition. I mean, people act like Wesley Clark. That must mean that Fox truly is fair and balanced. I mean, they forget that we have Bob Beckel and Alan Ratner and Eleanor Clift, and I can go down the list of liberals who appear regularly on Fox News, and they act like there's a dawning of a new age. page, because Wesley Clark is among us. Martin Frost is a Fox News contributor. And we have a whole list of Democrats who are regular Fox News contributors that never seem to get noticed or underscored by those who try to make this place out to be a right-wing nuthouse. You know, we have a large number of liberals or Democrats who are given fair play on the network, and Wesley Clark is a terrific addition.
Yeah, it's been nice seeing him on there, right? He does a good job. He's well respected, especially in the blogosphere. So that's great. Also, another question, what do you feel the significance of the Downing Street memo has been?
I think we're kind of beyond the Downing Street memo. I think we've seen clearly that was one of many pegs in a multifaceted falling down of this administration, and the fact that we see, certainly with Katrina, we saw the emperor has no clothes. They're not good at crisis managers. They plan for a war, but not its aftermath. They didn't have plans to deal with internal crises. You know, here's an administration, they get elected, and they brag about how they brought out the base on issues like gay rights and abortion, as if that's what put them over the top in Ohio. And that's what gets people elected in this country, energizing the base and raising money on those issues. And what we really have to realize in America is we really need to elect competent managers. We've seen the level of incompetence with Hurricane Katrina. Forget about abortion, which will remain legal in this country. There'll always be gays. There'll always be gays having domestic partnerships, either sanctioned or not sanctioned by the government. But how about focusing on electing people who are good at their jobs, who know how to manage people? I'm not even talking ideologically, but competent people who know how to run things. And we're seeing that that's just not the case because, you know, they've energized the base to get people to the polls and brag about how that's what got Bush over the top this time, even though John Kerry did get 60 million votes, the most votes anybody ever got in a presidential race, except for George W. Bush in this race. John Kerry got the second most votes ever in a presidential race.
No, I completely agree with you. And the whole thing, you know where I stand, and Bush always says, well, we do know where you stand, because just look at your leadership. I mean, it's been a nightmare. You know, they want to blame the local and the state officials, but you know what? It comes from the top. And he's been a failure at leadership. And it just, to see that picture of him playing a guitar when people are stranded, it says it all. Picture's a thousand words,
What they love to do is they will take something that Michael Moore said or something that Howard Dean said, and they will decide, look, this represents the left. This is all that the left stands for. And they totally ignore things like Barbara Bush saying, oh, those people in the Astrodome, it's certainly better than where they were. They were underprivileged anyway, and with that little chuckle in her voice. And they totally forget the Louisiana congressman who said, well, we couldn't solve the urban problem, but God did. And these are outrageous comments that never get underscored by the right while they're blasting the left for taking out of context. And they forget that didn't Dick Cheney suggest to Patrick Leahy a biologically impossible act that he could perform upon himself? And, well, it wasn't in public. Gee, I would consider the floor of the Senate pretty public, but that seems to pass by the wayside when they're busy blasting the left and trying to define everybody left of Attila the Hun by out-of-context comments made by those who they don't like, who they can't stand.
Right. I mean, it's a typical trick, and it's, it's like they have this this pecking order. It starts from Drudge, goes to Rush Limbaugh, and then it's all over the place. And
well, they have an echo chamber. They have an infrastructure. It's that Will Rogers line. Will Rogers said, I'm not a member of any organized party. I'm a Democrat. And there's a little bit of truth to that, but, for years, Republicans have had talk radio, and that's starting to change now, and they had these big, heritage foundations and all these. They have a great infrastructure. They have a great echo chamber. They speak louder. They repeat the same stuff over and over again, and then the more often you say it with the most conviction, the more people are going to believe it, and they're very good at it. They're much better at getting out the message than we on the left have been.
No, they definitely are. I had a little contest, and it's called the Ken Melman, talking point action figure, because that guy can just rattle off talking point after talking point like nobody else, and he's almost like, a cartoon character now, but that's what they do. They're really good. For most working Americans who have to work 8-12 hours a day, you come home and you just hear this message, John Kerry voted before against, the flip-flop, and that's
right,
the first
right.
impression. They spent like $60 million.
They were able to define John Kerry before he could define himself. He didn't react quickly enough to what has become a verb now, swift voting, to swift vote somebody. Work became a verb, now swift votes become George Lakoff has talked about and has consulted with Democrats about. And one of the mistakes that liberals make often is to just accept the premise on the other side. You have to sometimes just, before you answer the question, determine if the question makes any sense. If you're asked, you know, don't you believe that George Bush is the greatest president in the greatest country in the world, and how dare you go after our great president, well, since when is it wrong to dissent? As Thomas Jefferson said, dissent is the greatest form of patriotism, the highest form of patriotism. You have to really pay attention to how a question is framed before you determine if it has validity, before you can even answer it.
No, that's, you know, it's so true. It's like, if we, you know, we bring something up, but we hate the military. You know, if we have questions about the war, you know, I mean...
Why do you hate America? Why do you hate our president? Well, no, I don't hate the president. I disagree with him. And then they'll, you know, point out that MoveOn.org, for example, called him a Nazi, which was not true. Somebody submitted a commercial in a contest. MoveOn then took it off the website when they realized what it said. MoveOn is an organization that did not call Bush a Nazi, and I've denounced anybody who would do such a thing. I want to win on the argument. I want to win on the issues. I want to win because I think we're right, no pun intended. I don't want to win. You don't win by calling the other guy names. Let them do that. And while they're calling us evildoers and suggesting we're name callers, let us win on the actual facts.
No, it's just, it's like, you know, they focus, like I said, on Dean, on anyone makes some sort of statement, yet they say the most hateful things out, you know, I mean, you look at Ann Coulter, the stuff that comes out of her mouth, it, you know, if anybody on the left did that, that would be the lead for weeks on shows. Sean Hannity would be banging it constantly. It's like, why is it that people like her can say anything that they want, and the media does not highlight it?
Well, Ann Coulter is a very nice person. You know, off the air, I've always gotten along with her, and I think when she's on, she's very entertaining. She works very hard to craft what she says in highly entertaining, provocative ways, much like Michael Moore does on the left. They love to demonize Michael Moore. You know, and I think we need to look at that and say, look, what is she really doing? Ann Coulter is, in many respects, a brilliant performance artist who is using humor and provocation to get across her point of view. And that's the way, and that's the context, I think, in which to look at her.
Right. Yeah, to me, she's a, you know, like a bad vaudeville act, but that's another story.
Whether you agree with her or not, the fact that you have to acknowledge that she has impact because of the way she frames issues, and she's found a way to do it to get under the skin of the left.
No, I hear you. I mean, David Horowitz does it, Bill Bennett does it, and it's just like this double standard. You know, why does the media, like we were talking when you were talking about questions, here we have a debate, right, with President Bush and John Kerry, and what they'll do as a segment is they'll have like their fact check. Now, even though Dick Cheney was proved, I believe that he had like 10 or 12 lies or misstatements as opposed to six for John Edwards, what they do is they do it even. You know, they do one and one. Like, why can't the media just get honest and report what's going on? Why do they have to fake this balance? You know, if one guy is totally off the wall, whether it's left or right or center, why can't they just report it?
Yeah, well, the media becomes the villain. It's funny, when Republicans get elected, it's the will of the people. When liberals get elected, it's the media that did it.
Right.
So, you know, it's truly remarkable. But most people, if you look at the current polls, the president's approval ratings are down. I think people are saying, and I've used the phrase often, the emperor has no clothes. We're seeing the bad management of the last hurricane. I'm sure Texas is getting a lot more help than Louisiana did as Rita is picking up steam. You know, there's just a lack of awareness of the people who are neediest. This is where liberals and conservatives really differ the most. They've talked about less government, less government, less government. Grover Norquist said, you know, I think you had it on your website, let's blow up the government, basically, and he wants there to be, till it can be in the size of a bathtub, I think, or something like that. We believe in government, a strong government net to help the neediest, which is a pittance of the national budget compared to what we spend on wars, and compared to what we're now going to have to spend to rebuild a city that was never cared for properly in the first place. We believe that there is a role for government. They claim they want less government, but then they get into office and create bigger government anyway.
Well, yeah, look, look at this. This is not a conservative administration. You know, I mean, it's they've spent more money. You know, I don't want to get into the drunken sailor reference if you see the new, the Inquirer article. But, I mean,
if Bill Clinton got up, first of all, if Bill Clinton were president during Hurricane Katrina, and there was a lack of response from FEMA, and Brownie was a good friend of Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton said, you're doing a heck of a job, Bill Clinton would be pilloried by the right wing. They'd be running him out of, they'd impeach him all over again for lack of good management. And yet they continue to defend this administration and want to blame the local authorities in Louisiana, who happen to be Democrat. They don't blame the local authorities in the other states affected, Alabama and Mississippi, who happen to be Republican.
Right, well, of course, you know, they protect their own. It's this amount of apologizing. It's to me, it's really hurting the
if
country.
If Bill Clinton were running a war the way Iraq is being run, if we had this level of deaths, if Bill Clinton did mission accomplished in a flight suit and twice as many died since then as before then, again, the double standard is just remarkable. They're not held to their own standard.
No, they're not. And like I said, I saw things change just when I'm a musician, as you know, and, you know, when I saw people burning Dixie Chick records, that really got me going, like, I've never seen that level of hatred and just, like, protection or just apologizing. To me, it really started to my political awakening.
They seem to forget that Bill Clinton was not treated with the milk of human kindness running through the veins of those who criticized him. The most nasty, horrible things, many of them untrue, were said about Bill Clinton. When he was president for 8 years, they impeached him. And yet you dare criticize the policy. And I stick to policy. I don't criticize Bush personally. It's not personal to me. I don't like the guy's policies. I think he's a bad manager, a bad administrator. Does that make me a Bush hater? No, I'm a liberal. I don't think I hate people, but I think I have an obligation, never mind a right. I think you have an obligation to speak out when you feel the country is not going in the right direction or being run poorly. How dare we not speak out? How can we not say what's in our hearts? Teddy Roosevelt said, to announce that there must be no criticism of the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public.
That's right. But, you know, again, we're traitors. We're traitors. You know, it's like, how dare you? You're traitors. But, again, this has really exposed his leadership, which is no skills at all. It's, you can walk out.
I can't say the number of people who call my radio show almost nightly. I'll get a call from somebody who voted for President Bush and feels, has buyer's remorse, and we play Brenda Lee's I'm Sorry and give them an opportunity to apologize.
Right, yeah.
But there is a level now of buyer's remorse based on what we've seen, especially over the last few months.
Right, I mean, you know, what's transpired. And now, you know, they're talking about the evacuations now, and I just saw a report where cars have been trapped on the roads now for 12 hours. They're running out of gas. They don't even know how to evacuate a city. Now, you know, I remember the old days, right, when I was in school, and you'd have a fire drill. Bell rang, everybody lined up, you got out of the school. What were these people doing? This is the level of cronyism is unbelievable. What was Michael Brown doing? I mean, obviously, if it was, if they were running for their election now, Bush would have been there, jumping in the river, pulling people out. And it's, to me, what are these people doing?
I'm not against cronyism if the crony's competent. I don't mind putting your friends in high places if they can do the job. Mm-hmm. Cronyism by itself isn't bad. It's cronyism combined with incompetence or lack of ability. I mean, if you don't have any management experience, emergency management experience, you shouldn't get the job. And it's not about who you know.
No, exactly. I mean, there's always going to be that amount. I mean, people that helped you get elected, that helped your campaign, of course you're going to take care of them, but again,
get a job where it's not going to damage the American people.
Yeah, you don't put a guy dealing with horses, running FEMA.
If you want to be Ambassador to Liechtenstein, I got no problem with it.
it's just terrible. Now, another question was, also, and we were talking, a big contention is what you were saying, whereas, they constantly, they rip, Bill Clinton, they've called him a murderer, a rapist, I mean, the worst that you can imagine. Once you criticize either one of these extreme religious nuts, they start crying. I saw Dobson on your show once, and it was like, they're calling me names. I mean, these guys make a living.
Well,
they're living and fundraising on attacking liberals and liberal principles.
Well, it's like Bernie Goldberg, who wrote this book about all these horrible, evil liberals and the people destroying America. I think all but two of them happen to be liberals, and then talks about the denigration of our culture and how we're now articulating ourselves in a way that is so bad and negative. And then under Courtney Love, the only word he had has is Ho. So it's okay. And then he goes, as Jon Stewart pointed out when Goldberg did his show, here's a guy who goes after people like Paul Krugman, who has no power except that he's a great writer. But go after the people who've got real power in this country. Courtney Love doesn't have any power in this country.
No.
Go after the people who actually can affect change, and those are the people hurting America. I mean, the people he talked about don't have much ability to hurt the country because they don't, you know, people go after what Bette Midler said the other night at the fundraiser for Katrina, as if Bette Midler is the worst thing that can happen to America, as if she wields real power to change things and make things better or worse for American people. Why don't we focus on the actual power centers and the people who can actually affect change? And if they're not doing the jobs, those are the people we should be going after.
No, without a doubt, it's also, you know, it's putting out that Hollywood myth. You know, Hollywood is ruining the culture. I mean, in Bernie's book, it should be called "The People That I 100 People That I Hate," not "Who's Ruining the Culture."
I'm just disappointed that I didn't make the book, as I told Bernie. I was one of my biggest failings in life is not to be in there.
I actually got the book because he was crying so much that people haven't read the book, and he talks about, you know, I remember the days where you were drinking in a bar and people wouldn't use bad language. My response is, where was he drinking?
And he's going to the wrong bars.
He wasn't going to a bar. This guy is part of the elite. I mean, that's the hysterical point, you know, with these characters. Has there ever been, another question, has there ever been in the past year, is there one story that's really gotten under your skin?
I think the Schiavo story. Well, certainly the election's got under our skin because that's, you know, that's what really counts.
Yeah, outside the election. We all know about it.
We all know about the election. The Schiavo case really got under my skin. Now the autopsy comes out and it turns out she wasn't a persistent vegetative state, and here's somebody who could not have gotten better, and they used this poor woman and demonstrated at a hospice where other people were trying to have a peaceful end to their lives, which is what a hospice is, and then they show that videotape of her eyes unwittingly going back and forth as a reflexive, you know, reflex, and then, you know, you have these supposed nurses come on. You think that she was out in the hallway doing the hokey pokey just before, you know, they took that videotape, and she had no hope for recovery, and they demonize the husband, who has not been out there with a profusion of those on the right, and then they rush back. They had no problem, you know, President Bush was actually able to leave Crawford, Texas, to arrive on Palm Sunday in the lawn of the White House to sign a bill. He never leaves Crawford, Texas.
In fact,
I say it to my radio show, I actually call the White House, the Eastern White House, in Crawford, Texas, the White House. That, it's, you know, shouldn't be the other way around. But when they really had to spring into action, and Bill Frist, you know, of course, he's a doctor, was able to do a diagnosis looking at 2 seconds of a videotape.
Right, yeah. I posted on my blog, I wonder if that was a medical crime, actually doing a diagnosis without looking at a patient.
Right, but again, if the polarities were reversed and the liberals were taking the other side and the conservatives didn't like what the liberals were doing, we'd be using this poor, unconscious woman as a political football, which is exactly what the other side did.
No,
shamelessly.
It was shamelessly, and again, it shows you the level of commitment of President Bush, of what he finds important. Obviously, New Orleans wasn't that important because he had to go down to San Diego and give some Iraq speech, like trying to equate World War II with Iraq, where people are dying. But, you know, if it was, you know, his money lenders from the Christian extreme, I like to make that distinction, the extreme, you know, religious right, he'd be running all over the place, you know.
So it seems. Again, the hypocrisy and the double standards are legion.
Oh, it gets me. But, you know, that's our leader for us. You know, and another thing, like we were talking about, I mean, you got Rick Santorum, and here's a guy, you know, if you saw his book, obviously, insane stuff in it. And again, he actually put Nazi references in his speech in the Senate floor.
Right.
And again, the media does not cover it. Do you see now, though, it looks like the media, you know, I think I saw a breaking point with the whole Karl Rove thing where they finally started to get a spine again. Do you see them starting to wake up?
I think so. I think Katrina did it. I really do. I really think when it became a domestic issue and people suffering and people not getting the help that they needed and cronyism, I think that's what brought it home. Rick Santorum, you mentioned, compared the Democratic Party to Nazis. I asked him about that on my radio show. He actually said he made a mistake. He shouldn't have said it. It's hard to beat up a guy after he does a mea culpa. Karl Rove, in a very little referenced or underscored speech, referred to the Democrats as dumb. That hardly got any attention. If a spokesperson for Bill Clinton, for example, again, they'd be going crazy. Yet again, as they call Bush a Nazi, and it gets lots of attention. But when the other side, when their side does it, they pretty much ignore it.
No, well, you know, they have to protect them. You know, I mean, they're so, it just gets frustrating for me. You know, it's like this protection of power. And again, it, you know, liberal, Democrat, whatever. You know, we need to know the truth, and it's constantly bottled, and they have that filter. And you know, thank God it looks like, I don't know if it'll happen. It looks like the press, you know, they started to get on McClellan, and you know, we're all waiting to see what Fitzgerald does. You know, I hear it's supposed to be hopefully in October. I was talking to Joseph Wilson, and he thinks October something will be coming. How'd you like Ariana's column, if you read it, where she implicated John Bolton?
I don't know. I'm not sure I saw that. I don't know if I did read Ariana's column on
okay,
that.
Okay, he sort of, you know, he went and visited Judy Miller in
Oh, yeah, I did actually do that. I'm curious to know why John Bolton went to visit Judy Miller. That was quite interesting. You're right. I do remember. I did read that piece. John Bolton is not going to exactly hold a news conference and answer questions about that. He's too busy trying to blow up the United Nations.
Yeah, I know. Again, they can say anything they want incendiary, but if a Democrat or a liberal says something, you know, oh, they hate America. Yeah, I mean,
can you imagine a John Bolton getting confirmed in a Democratic administration? Somebody said, "Let's blow up the United. Oh. Let's blow up the actual institution that you're going to be representing. Oh. You're a diplomat to a country that you decided shouldn't exist."
It's the weirdest. I shouldn't say the weirdest because there have been a number of weird things. But to actually, you know, to put him in power, and I thought Barbara Boxer, every time she would debate Senator Allen, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, Republicans say that they're so strong on defenses. He's the only guy that you could find that could reform the UN. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, we know that liberals hate America. We're godless. We don't want to defend our country. We want to cede land to the communists. You know, we love Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez. Who is, by the way, democratically elected. But, you know, he just happens to not like the Bush administration. He doesn't hate America. He just doesn't like this president. He actually got along well with Clinton and speaks highly of him. But because Hugo Chavez does not like President Bush, he is an American-hating dictator.
Right. He doesn't fall in lockstep with their policies, with Dick Cheney. And so, of course, he's on the list. And Pat Robertson, hey, let's just take him out. Oh, that's not what I meant. Well, right. I didn't mean to take him out. Oh, yeah, I mean, come on, guys.
Pat Robertson really is, it's comic relief, really. I mean, he's very entertaining.
He's out there, but, you know, he gets a lot of press. He raises a lot of money for the Republican Party. That's really what it's all about. And they're going to defend him, you know, to the hilt.
Yeah.
Now, another question people asked is, what's some advice for some, you know, because we talk about liberals on Fox
right.
and Democratic strategists, and I see it time and time again. They just get sandbagged. It's like that they didn't, you know, never watch the show or prepared. What, do you have any advice for people going on?
Yes. First of all, come on the show. Don't say, I'm a Democrat, Fox hates Democrats, I'm not coming on. You get credit just for showing up. I love these Democrats who say, and some liberals who will say, well, we should never go on Fox, we should boycott Fox. Colm shouldn't work there, by the way. If you're really a liberal, he never worked there. Yeah, I'll quit my job, and then some other liberal person will come in, and then I'll boycott, and that person should quit their job. Let's make it so no liberals appear on Fox News. It should be exactly the opposite. Flood the place. Come on. Don't tell us you're not going to come on because you don't think we're fair to you. Come on. And when you do come on, tell the truth, be armed with the facts, smile. In fact, if you're on our show and Sean happens to be right, agree with him. Don't act angry. Tell the truth and have your facts. If you watch people like Charlie Rangel and Al Sharpton, they do wonderfully on our show. And as I said earlier, if you don't like the premise of a question, don't accept the premise of the question. You know, for example, when they say Ruth Bader Ginsburg was lead lawyer for the ACLU, that's code for Republicans were gracious enough to put a left-wing lunatic on the court without a big fight. Well, Roberts isn't getting a fight. He's being confirmed as we speak by the Judiciary Committee, including Democrats. And remember, you know, you just don't have to buy the premise. But when you come on, have the facts, be pleasant, and don't get angry. You know that old phrase, don't get mad, get even.
Right. Yeah, I mean, is the typical, are you embarrassed? You know, I think every person that goes on that show should have five quotes. When Hannity says, are you embarrassed that Dean said this? Then you can say, are you embarrassed that Robertson said that? Are you embarrassed that Falwell said that? I mean, it's just, you know, they shift. You're supposed to be there for a topic, and it, you know.
Well, it's guilt by association. If, you know, if X person says this, X person is a liberal, you're a liberal, you have to defend this. If you defend it, then you're as bad a liberal as I thought, and if you don't defend it, maybe you're not a liberal.
Right. Of course. You know, it's divide and conquer. He's been doing this for a long time, and that's what angers, you know, I think a lot of liberals about the show is...
Well, but they shouldn't be angry. They should actually embrace us and come on our show with, you know, and do it politely and in a convivial manner.
Well, to be honest with you, if I came on, I wouldn't be that nice about it.
But I'm not saying you have to be nice. I mean, what I'm saying is you have to tell the truth. You have to have the facts. You don't have to be mean-spirited.
No.
Just to get your point across. I know that there are those liberals who would love me to be mean-spirited as if that makes you win debates. I don't think you win because you're the loudest, because you talk the most, or because you come off as the meanest. I just don't think intelligent people thinks, therefore, that person won the debate.
And one other question, because I know we've been going pretty long, and again, and we talk, you know, obviously the right wing is pandered to the extreme religious right groups, and you know, but we never hear on Fox or on MSNBC or on CNN whenever a crazy Westbury Baptist Church does something weird, when another church kicks out Democrats. Why don't the networks hold these people accountable?
Well, that's not totally true. I mean, we've had Dobson on, and I've asked him about some of his comments. We've had Roberts, and I've asked him about his comments. You know, the guy at the West, Fred Phelps, the Westboro Baptist Church, I've had on radio, but he's so far beyond the pale, you know, that it's crazy. But I've, you know, asked Dobson a number of times to defend what he said. I've asked Dobson to defend, and I've asked Roberts to defend comments. It's not true. We do put them on, and I...
Yeah, but I'm not even saying your show, like, particularly. I'm just saying overall, because I watch the media a lot, and it's just, it prevails, where it's almost like they're afraid, you know, on a whole scale. Like, they're afraid to take on the task because they feel, I don't know, you know.
I really do believe that's changing, and I think, again, Katrina was a watershed moment in our history, in terms of modern history, where people seeing our government in action, and in action can be one word or two, depending upon you.
Right.
What side you're on.
Right, I know. It's, you know, and I tell you, the one clip that got a lot of play was, you know, when Shepard Smith and Geraldo, and they were just talking about the horrors, and you say, how, you know, what does it take? Who cares if it's state, local? You see this happening, you know, you got to do something. I mean, reporters are in there. Why, you know, why couldn't helicopters drop water? Why couldn't they do those things? When Chertoff says he has no idea what's going on, I mean,
right.
They talk about getting their intelligence from the newspapers and from TV, and then they want us to believe that, you know, Iran's going to be a big threat. They got nukes. We have to go here. Why should we believe anything they say?
Well, if they don't know what's going on in their own country, how are they going to know what's going on in Iran or Iraq if they have to wait till the morning paper comes out? I got news for you. The news cycle has changed. There's now something called the Internet. I think I read a hard newspaper recently somewhere. I got some ink on something. But, you know, to have them say, well, I read in the paper this morning that they're all at the Superdome. Is that how you get your information, really? Is that how cabinet members get their information in this administration? They read it in the morning newspaper?
Man, it's unbelievable. Well, listen, we've been on for a while. I don't want to keep you from waiting. Thanks for joining crooksandlies.com, and my best to you in the show.
I appreciate, John, what you're doing. You got a great website, and you use the full force of the Internet and all its multimedia glory. So I'm glad that I appreciate the opportunity to speak with your readers.
Well, I'm sure we'll have some interesting responses in the comments section once I post it. They'll probably post it next week, but again, Alan, thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
Okay, buddy. Bye.
All right, I hope that was...